All right. Hey, everybody. Sorry. Hey, it's so good to see you, and really, truly, it's good to be back. Again, if you're a guest, listen, I know you're like, who is the dude in the plaid? I have the real, real privilege to serve as the lead pastor here at our church, and Lauren and I were on a sabbatical for 6 weeks, so we were 41 days technically away from the leadership operation of the church, and it really was good for us, quite honestly. And so I'm just excited to be back. I'm glad to see you. And as I said moments ago, you better watch out. I'm gonna hug you. I am. All right. I'm very, very excited to be back and to see you. But I wanted to do a couple things first. I wanted to just start by looking into the camera and really just saying hello to all of those that watch online. Really, honestly, I think in sabbatical, I started to learn even more. Just hearing from some people that, like, your only connection has been the online experience for a long period of time. Some people that I was like, I don't even know if they're a part of Church on the Rock anymore. I haven't seen them. Like, I'm finding out still very connected, just still choosing to be online. Learned of other people who are at distances, you know, like they don't live in our city, or they just enjoy our church, so it's just something, you know, else they do on top of their other church. For some people, I know we are your church, because maybe you just haven't found that life-giving church in your city or state or community or whatever, and so you just choose to be a part of this family. And I just want you to know we love you, we welcome you, and it's our honor to be able to serve you even digitally. But before we just give it up and applaud for you guys, I'm going to give a special shout-out today to Riley and Sydney watching in Huntsville, Alabama. I've actually, give it up for Riley and Sydney if you would. Well, thank you guys for being a part of the service today. I've actually been in Huntsville many, many times, and so if you guys have never done it, I would suggest that you go and rent some kayaks and take a little trip down the Flint River. It is beautiful. It is a great day. Nice outing. The water's flawless. It's just a big time fun. And then I want you to know this, that I'm so enthused and encouraged by the relationship that you have made to my daughter through YouTube. Is that right? It was all YouTube that kind of created the connection. So it's awesome to kind of have you as friends. And then also, by the way, I know of a unbelievably life-giving church right there in your community. We'll talk later. Okay. But hey, listen, welcome. Super, super thankful that you're a part of the service today. Would you give it up for all of those that are connected to us online? We really love you guys. Yeah. Yeah, all right. So listen, I'm excited to be back. And here's some fun for me anyway, is this, that if you know me at all, you know that I'm a systems guy. I like structure. I like order. Military people understand. I like dress right dress. I have been told that my love language is perfection. I'm working on that. But one thing that I do when I think about you and just how to communicate to our church and how to lead our church is I like to say, God, what do you want us to say? Like, what's the overarching theme of the year? And so I work really, really hard to get very, very far ahead. So my preference actually is to kind of know the general direction that God's trying to take us throughout the year, and I build communication. So what that means is, I'm telling you stuff that might not matter to a lot of you. What that means is, though, that I think so far ahead that I don't always get to bring, like, the hottest thing on the plate that I have. You know what I'm saying? So, like, sometimes I'm in such preparation that, like, it's burning on the inside of me, but it's for 2 months later for you. But not today and not next week. And I intentionally left these 2 weeks kind of open because I was like, man, if I come back from sabbatical and don't have something hot to give, there's something wrong with me, I think, right? And so today I get to bring you a message that's like the freshest thing on the inside of me. And I'm really, really excited to do that. If you're a note taker, they are in the seat backs in front of you. If you're on the front row, they are on the front, underneath that front row for you. And then if you're online, they're available digitally. But you can go ahead and get those out if you want to, if you're a note taker. But I want to kind of start here. So as mentioned, Lauren and I were on this sabbatical. It's something that was really, we were pastored into it and pastored throughout the whole thing. And I had some voices that are influential not only in my life, but in the life of the church. Even if you didn't know it, come and share. And I want to say this, that all of them had nothing but good things to say about you, all of them. The staff at Church on the Rock got really high praise, the serve team, really high praise, the welcome and love of this church family, really high praise. So I just thank you guys for being you. I really want to thank the staff for just being awesome. I never one time worried that anything was going wrong or that it was burning down. I was not concerned. You guys are unbelievable. I love and appreciate all the staff. They may not all be in this service They might be serving in other locations, but I just want you guys to know how much I love and appreciate you. To our serve team, wearing the serve team shirts, you guys are the best, and I really, really thank you for serving. And then just to our church family for just loving on people and being you. Thank you for the culture that's in this house, and thank you for being awesome. So would you just give it up for the person next to you, because you all had a part of it. I just thank you, thank you, thank you so very much. So we go on sabbatical. And do your thing. I was seeing it myself, but I was trying to ignore it. We were rocking so hard this morning, that light fell out of the wall. And so Pastor Derek is going to repair that for us. So thank you, my brother. Appreciate that. Yeah, I could see it on you guys. And I was the whole time, I'm like, this is rough, man. This is rough. So yeah, okay, here, like, I'll just shadow you, and then now they're upset, and I'll try to shadow you. No, thanks, bro. So that's good. We'll just turn it off. All right, everybody feel better now? All right. Thanks, dude. This happens all the time, by the way. There are things that I'll feel it and see it, and I just try to ignore it so you don't know there's problems. I do my very best, and so that was one. I was like, I was just feeling your pain really, really bad in the first couple. It was like being in the splash zone at SeaWorld or something. I don't really know. Anyway, back to the point. We went on this sabbatical, and here's the thing. What we did on the sabbatical is not nearly as important as what God did in us. That's really what I want to talk about. So I can tell you cool stories and places we went and things we saw, people we talked to, you know, I can tell you about that stuff. But that's not as important as like the things that God was really doing on the inside of us. And so Lauren and I spent some time on some beaches. She loves the sun. She likes it to be 127 degrees. That's her love right there. And so I have learned, because I love her, I've learned to love the beach and the sun, and sunscreen and hats, amen. And then we also spent some time, we traveled, we went to some churches, we read some books. We read a book together, we read books individually. We did some things called silence and solitude, where we got away from phones, noise, media, and actually got into quiet places to just be with the Lord, and just hear, and just listen, and pray. Which is hard to do, quite honestly, it's hard to be quiet anymore. And so we got away from that. We went and visited churches. Did I say that already? We went to my hunting lease in Georgia a couple of times, which, again, Lauren came with me on one of those trips, and so she loves me, and so she is learning to love that too, because I like woods, mosquitoes, spiders, rattlesnake. Like, I'm down. Listen, I like the woods and all that comes with it, and so we did a little bit of that, but it was all throughout that. It was all throughout flights and beaches and woods and all that stuff, that we had a lot of time for just conversation and just talk and reflect, which is something that is missing in our culture today. Like, just time out. Like, what is God really saying? Let's slow down long enough to even know, are we on the right path? And so we spent time praying and listening and having discussion. And there, what we found was there are some things in our lives that we just shifted, changed, moved, some things we stopped, some things we started. There's some things we reallocated. There were some new rhythms that we said, these are rhythms of our life we need to reinstitute into our life or start for the first time, whatever the case may be, because we feel like God is calling us to lead this church for a long time. There's loads of vision in my heart about where God is taking us and what we believe for this family. And so for us, there was time where it was like, all right, well then let's take an inventory of what's going on in our lives. Is it healthy? Is it good? Is it growing us? Whatever. And so we made some decisions as a couple that, hey, this is something we want to see grow. This is something we're going to see stop. This is something we're going to make a modification to. Am I making sense? It is from there. It is from there that today's message is here, because I've been just reading through the New Testament. I started in Paul's letters and just started reading, and then I got to the book of Hebrews, and it's like I couldn't move. And I'm going to be really honest with you, which is going to disappoint one of my good friends, because we just had this conversation at my house over some food and arrow shooting the other night. But he was like, man, Hebrews might be one of my favorite books in the Bible. I'm like, yeah, it's never been that, like you know, maybe the pastor shouldn't say that. But like, not always been one of my faves, but right now it's doing something in me. And I'm like, man, I can't get out of it. I can't seem to like leave. And so I want to take you today with me there. Can we do that? Okay, so we're gonna land in the book of Hebrews. We're gonna talk about some stuff, but I'm gonna use Joshua from the Old Testament to get us started. So I want to start right there with Joshua. Now, I'm really big on context and you knowing where this is coming from. I'm not going to give you the context of this because it doesn't help us today. It's going to speak for itself. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, it says, "So fear the Lord," and these words are what popped to me, "and serve him wholeheartedly," which I actually think should be and probably is the desire of all Christ followers. Amen. Like, if not only do I want to follow Jesus, I'd like to do it wholeheartedly. And so he says, "Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped." This is context. Just stay with me. "Idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt. Serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today who you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates River, or would it be the gods of the Amorites and those in the land now that you live? But as for me," and here's my point, this is Joshua, "as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." And so that's what I want to actually talk about with you today. Title of my message is Cereal and Steak. Cereal and steak. So get ready to receive. Here's what I like about Joshua is that he's at this point in his leadership with the people that are following him. And he's kind of coming to this point where he's like, look, man, really the idea is as followers of God, we should want to serve him wholeheartedly. And I actually think that's what we want. Now, if you're a Christian and you're like, hey, I want to serve God wholeheartedly, you're going to love it today. If you're a follower of Jesus and you're like, well, I want to serve him and I want the benefits that come with serving him, just not sure I want the commitment to follow him, brace yourself. I'm going to preach today. Okay? If you do not follow Jesus and you're in this room or tuning in online, I'm just going to say hang with me because I actually think that I'm going to present something life-giving enough that you're going to be like, I think I want to follow Jesus today. So if you'll just stick around no matter where you are, I'm going to share with you what God's been doing in my heart, okay? And one thing that I like about Joshua is that he simply says, hey, like, I have this passion to serve God with all my heart. And then he says, but you get to decide for yourself. Like, you do whatever you want to do, because I'm only accountable for me and my family, and that decision's been made. We will serve the Lord. But then he says, right between those things, if you're going to serve God wholeheartedly, put some stuff away. Here's where the preaching comes. Like, in order for us to serve God wholeheartedly, sometimes it requires us to put away things that we like or that feel good, or that do something for us. They bring all those endorphins and excitement and all that kind of stuff. And that's where I want to go today. I'm going to talk to you about cereal and steak. And I want to start with a statement, okay? I want to start with a statement. Write this down, and I want you to really take this in. Everybody, you ready? I really want you to take and embrace this statement that God wants more for you. Emphasis on the word for. God wants more for you. He's trying to do something in your life. He has a vision, a purpose, and a plan. And I'm just telling you, the last 2 weeks, and I didn't tell anybody what to preach the whole time I was gone, but Cynthia and Pastor Derek, they just like put the ball on the tee for me so I could just get up here today and just kill that thing. Like, I'm going to hit it today because they propped it up for me, I believe, so, so well. God wants more for you. He has a purpose for your life, a design for your life. It's a hope and a future, and it's good. Say amen. Y'all awake at 9:30? What's it been like in the 9:30? Y'all, do they talk back in here? I'm like, you can help me preach a little bit, okay? That's all I'm saying. And so I want to dig into this because we're going to talk today about cereal and steak under the understanding, the fact, the reality, everybody, that God wants more for you. He's beckoning, like, there's more. There's more. Serve me wholeheartedly. Keep pursuing me. The Bible's full of promises, isn't it? Full of promises. And the promises are that if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. The Bible says that if we go after the Lord, if we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. And what God is saying to us this morning is, I want more for you. So serve me wholeheartedly. Come after me. I'm going to show you some things you do not even know. Amen. Okay, so now I want to take you to Hebrews. Okay, so Joshua set us up, and we're going to go back to that verse here in just a few minutes with Joshua. But I want to take you to some scripture that's just been doing a powerful, really, thing in my own heart and in my own life. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, The context here is this. Now, I will give you context on this one. And the context here is that someone is writing to believers, followers of Christ Jesus. All right, the author of Hebrews is unknown. There's debates. There are people that think it's Paul. There are people that think it's multiple authors. People think it's actually a husband and a wife couple. And there's a lot of evidence of why it could be any of those authors. All I know is this. It made the canon of Scripture, so it's good for us. Amen. It's profitable for us to teach us and to help us grow. And so the author here is writing to followers of Jesus, and he's saying there's much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult. It's difficult to... I'm trying to explain it, but it's hard, and especially, watch what he says, because you're spiritually dull. And you don't seem to listen. Yeah. So that lands, doesn't that land a little heavy? Like, jeez. But here, listen. I just follow me today, okay? Because I truly believe this is the word of the Lord for us today. I don't think that the writer of Hebrews is being critical. I think he's being factual. So I don't want you to think of dull like an insult, like you're dumb and you just can't get it. I want you to think of dull more like a fact that you've lost your edge. So it used to be sharp. But the truth is, it's not sharp anymore. It used to be really, really pointed, and it would pierce, but it's like that number two pencil. You know what I'm saying? In the SATs, after you've like scribbled in about 87 of those things, it's kind of like, can I go to the pencil sharpener, right? Because sometimes we get dull, and sometimes we really don't listen. When God is trying to do something, we may not be listening to what he's trying to say. And so with that in our minds... We're not being insulted here. We're being called out because, listen to me carefully, the truth hurts sometimes, doesn't it? Have you ever heard that said? Have you ever experienced the truth hurting? If you haven't, you need better friends. Okay? You need a mom and dad that love you. That's what you need. Because the truth hurts. And sometimes when we hear the actual truth, it's like, oh, it might feel critical. It might sound a bit insulting, but the reality is it's not critical, it's actual. It's just the fact is you've lost your edge, it's gotten a little dull, but we could sharpen that thing back up. Are you with me? So he goes on to say, verse 12, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Cereal and steak. It's clickbait for YouTube. Okay. And so he's saying that, like, hey, the reality is that some of you are having milk. You need to move on. Okay. Verse 13, for someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through the training have the skill, and I want you to recognize it is a skill that is honed and developed in the follower of Jesus to recognize the difference between right and wrong. And so, cereal and steak. And here's what I love about leading a church. Is that not everybody's in the same spot. It is my favorite thing. People are different. In this church, people have different beliefs, backgrounds, experiences. People vote certain ways where others in this church will vote a different way. Some people are different ages and cultures. They were raised certain ways, so they have certain values that others do not. One of the things that I love about this church is that we have people that are from all across the United States and different parts of the world, and so there are perspectives and there are viewpoints. My point being that we are not the same, although we can be unified and be different. Okay, and so I need you to hear me. So I have this phrase I picked up from one of my heroes in the faith. I like to say it this way: don't hear what I'm not saying. Because there are some of us in this church that we are having milk because milk is all we can receive. And so if you are that follower of Jesus and you don't have the spiritual teeth, Okay, that's right. We're gonna use the allegory here. You haven't matured in your walk with Christ to chew meat yet. That's why you're having cereal or milk, right? Because that's all you can take in. Here's what I'm gonna say to you. Good, have cereal. So this message today is not to make those of us having cereal feel bad. In fact, I'm gonna bring a unified voice to all of us, no matter where you are. But the author in Hebrews is talking to certain followers of Christ that they know has grown beyond cereal. It's time for some steak. But it's chewy. And the texture. And I don't know if I like it cooked that way. Can maybe a little more well done for me? Like whatever. And listen, all of us, come on, right? Guilty. Because there are times that what is served to us by our leader and by our guider, the Holy Spirit, we go, I don't know if I want to partake. Say amen if you are human. Amen. All right. Let's just keep it real around here. Amen. And so the author is saying, there are some of you though, and I don't want to be critical, and I'm not trying to be ugly here. I'm just trying to be factual that there are some of you, you're still having cereal, and you just know it's time for steak. It's actually time for you to take another step. It's actually time that you would grow up into the place that I know you should be at by now, because I was there when you were having cereal. I was there spoon feeding you, and oh, it's so good for you. And now I need to get you into a place where you can actually take something in that you have to like really digest. Might take more time for you to process. It actually is going to do something in you, but it's going to stick a little differently and grow you a little differently. You're ready for a bigger step. And so what your responsibility is this Sunday morning is to figure out which one of those you are. Because if you're eating cereal and you should be, then I congratulate you and say, keep going. But if you're eating cereal and you shouldn't be, I'm here to call us to toe the line a little bit. But the idea here, and here's where it gets universal, the idea here is that we grow.
Yes.
Okay. So no matter where you are, the big idea of Hebrews is that you just grow. So it's not that you are to feel bad. No, it's just that no matter where you are, you just keep growing and going to your next level, going to your next step. Are you with me? Because here's what I know about myself. Everybody got it? I'm gonna move on. Here's what I know about myself is that I always, 100% for Josh Hersey, I can't speak for you, I can speak for me, but I always drift in the wrong direction. So the rhythm, the pace, the wheel, the pressure, like whatever it is that we all live in, every single one of us that we live in, if I don't pause, call time out, rest, find a rhythm to reflect on, God, what are you actually trying to do in me? What are you actually trying to say in me? God, are you trying to shift me? What I know is when I get caught up and what culture demands and fast pace and more and hurry and more excellence, whatever, I tend to drift. And when I drift, it's always the wrong direction. Like, for example, I've never found myself accidentally losing weight, ever. Not once in my whole life. I've never said to myself, I should have had 6 sticks of celery. What was I thinking? But I did say last night, why did I eat 3 of those cookies last night? Because when I drift the wrong way. The same is true for my spirit. The exact same thing is true for my spirit. That if I am not like the protector of my authentic connection with Christ, if I'm not leaned into this thing wholeheartedly, I drift. And when I drift, it's always in the wrong direction. I always go where I shouldn't be. And when I find myself where I shouldn't be, when I find myself where I know it's like, I probably should be having steak here, but I'm still eating cereal right now. I find myself wanting to push back against the steak, which would never happen in the natural, by the way. But in the spiritual, you know, what do we call that thing? That's the word. Who said it? Thank you. Metaphor that we're using today. I digress. There are times that I prefer to stay on the cereal and not receive from the Holy Spirit the adulthood of taking another step and chewing on something that is harder for me to process. But as a follower of Christ that really longs to do it wholeheartedly, I don't get that luxury. I actually have to step up. Amen. Because what we tend to do is we tend to deceive ourselves. And James warned us about it. He said, hey, don't, you have to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Because if all you ever do is hear it, you'll deceive yourself. So here's how the deception goes. Well, I went to church. I'm in a life group. I serve. I this, I that. And what starts happening is, watch this, we will, our propensity, our drift is back toward the law. I did this, I did this. It's behavioral modification instead of heart change. Now I get over here and I go back to the place that Jesus set me free of. Because I don't earn my right standing with him. I receive it. And when I'm wholeheartedly leaning in to God, what are you saying? What would you have for me? Then I become a doer of his word, meaning I don't love it. I don't like it. This isn't easy. I'd rather keep it, or I'd rather not, or whatever the case may be. However, I want to serve him wholeheartedly. I go all the way in. So I do the word and we find freedom there. Because then I find myself under the sanctification of receiving Christ's forgiveness and my standing before my Heavenly Father because of Jesus rather than my actions and my works. I'm having fun. I'm back. All right, so Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. So the author, they go on, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Here's the big idea. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Let's don't stay here. Let's don't settle. Cereal is good for you for a season. But the idea is that we go on to maturity, that we go toward Christ wholeheartedly with everything in us, that I actually have to move on from the place that I am. I can't stay here and grow in Jesus. I cannot stay here and be a wholehearted follower of Christ. And so what Joshua said was, I've made a choice. I make a decision. I'm responsible for myself. I'm responsible for those that I lead. I will be the one that makes the choice. I choose to follow Jesus. I choose to serve him wholeheartedly, which means we have to get into a place of decision. So let me get there. Let me get there. This is what he said. Choose today. And this is, listen to me carefully, this is what I'm challenging you and me to do this morning. To choose today. We're going to make some choices today. I'm going to challenge some folks today. Choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates River, or would it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I have chosen. And the reality is that as a follower of Jesus, I have to choose again and again and again and again. I can't make a decision one time and feel like, well, there you go. I said yes to Jesus. Bring out the steak. I like it medium rare. Come on, a little butter on the top or what I like. Bring it on. No. I have to repeatedly choose that to wholeheartedly follow Christ Jesus means I have to constantly take a look at my own life and reflect on me and actually say, God, what are you saying to me now? Because I might be ready to eat something a little different in this season of my life than I was 3 months ago, 1 year ago. God, I'm trying to wholeheartedly progress and to serve you. Let me go on to maturity. It's a constant choice that the follower of Christ makes. Amen. And so here's what I want you to do. If you take notes with a pen, get ready to write quickly. Five questions are coming. Five questions we're all going to ask ourselves. You might want to pull out your smartphone and get ready to take a picture of the screen, okay? This is what all of us are going to take the time to answer some questions. So if you can't write fast enough, some questions I want you to ask. All right, and the first question is this. What step do you need to take next? What's your next step? What is it? Because some of you already know. Like, you already know. Hey, I'm gonna spend a little time here, okay? Just give me a few minutes. Some of you already know. Some of you in this room, some of you tuning in online, here's what you know. That my next step is to commit my life to Christ Jesus. I'm ready. I just need to do it. I've sensed him drawing me in. Maybe it was just since the start of this message, but something's changing on the inside of you, and you know that for me, today I choose Jesus. For some of us, hey, you know what? Today I need to make a decision. I'm gonna stop making excuses about being busy and not being in a life group. I need godly, healthy, life-giving community. I need to surround myself with the kinds of people trying to go where I'm trying to go. No more excuses. When the fall semester starts, I will be in a group. Some of you, it's just time, okay? It's just time that you get out of like just the casual group because they're your friends and you're comfortable there. And you know the group you need in the fall is the group that's actually going to strengthen your spirit. You need something that's a little more focused and disciplined. I need something that's going to actually take me on my next step. I need to graduate. Not that being hanging out is, I'm not knocking anybody, but some people need cereal. Some people it's time for steak. Some of us just know enough's enough. I need to make a difference in someone else's life. It's time for me to serve. All Access is my next step. I need to actually connect to this church in an authentic way, and I actually need to make a difference in someone else's life. Because I know that's, for me, that's my next step. I just know it, and I've been pushing it back, but it's time for steak. It's time for steak. I need to step it up, and I need to have some adult food because this is my next step in my journey with Christ. That's my wholehearted decision. That's what I choose today. Some of us need to choose. It's time for me to stop some things. Anyway, I'm ahead of myself. Question number two. Here we go. What is something the Holy Spirit is showing you that you need to deal with? That's the one that has gravity right there. Yeah, I've had a conviction for a while about it. Some of us already know. Like every atmosphere you get in where the presence of God is there, the conviction follows. Why? Because that's the Spirit's job. The Bible says he convicts us of our sin. It's one of his roles. And sometimes a wholehearted Christian needs to recognize this is sinful for me. There are certain things that might not be sinful to you, but the Holy Spirit's dealing with me. I need to do something about it. Today, I choose. I will make an adjustment. Today, no more. Okay, good? Everybody hanging? All right, third question. What in your life needs to start? Start. I need to start my day sooner. I need to start a quiet time with the Lord every day. I need to start reading the Bible, even though it's a little intimidating and it's big and I don't really know where to be. I need to start. What is it that needs to begin? I need to start praying fervently. I need to start making a list of things to pray for so that when I pray, I know what to pray. What needs to start for you today? Everybody good? I'm going to move to another screen. Everybody, any more pictures or anything? You good? All right, here we go. Next question is, what in your life needs to stop? Yeah, so some things need to start. Other things, it's like, yeah, okay, no more. We're done. The conviction's there. I know. I've been hanging on. I know it lingers. But you know what? I'm going to make a decision. We're going to stop this. Amen? And then final question. I only have five. What in your life needs to adjust or modify? Change a little. It might not be bad. It just might be out of balance, right? Like, man, I'm just consumed with this, and I need to get it back into a healthy place because it's pulling my attention away from the Father. Because this just happens, right? I think it's easy. It, like, easily happens. It might be too much Netflix for you. Like, man, if I just cut one show and actually spent those 26 minutes in the Word, it probably changed my life. For others of us, it might be that you just are consumed with the thought of your hobby all the time and it just overwhelms you to the point that maybe you just need to adjust it a little bit. Like, God, it dominates my thinking. I need you to be the forefront of my mind. What needs modification, an adjustment on the inside of you? I think that wholehearted followers of Jesus have to do this all of the time. All of the time. I'm like an over-the-top passion guy. So when I get into things, I get into them. Like if I can't go all in, I don't want to start. And so I have to sometimes pull myself back and be like, bro, like, come on. I'm just being real and transparent about the reality of like we all kind of battle this humanity and carnality, don't we? So what do we need to adjust? What do we need to start? What do we need to stop? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is your next step? Those are the questions. And I'm going to finish right here, okay? I'm going to finish with something that I find to be encouraging. And let me my time's running out, but let me say this quickly, that I have a very strong like conviction in me. It is, in fact, the way I present the gospel. It is the way that I prefer. I don't always get everything right, of course. So again, don't hear what I'm not saying, but it's the way I prefer to always treat people. And it comes from the Bible, where the Bible says this: it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's his goodness. And so I personally never try to be like the, you know what I mean? Like I got it all figured out or something. All right, because I don't. I just love Jesus. He's forever changing my life, and my heart is to wholeheartedly serve him, which means that I have to constantly go on to maturity. And so when I was reading Hebrews 5 and 6 and honestly stuck there and rereading and digging and studying and really having a good time, I was so encouraged when I got into Hebrews chapter 6. And I'll just take you there because I see the goodness. Because that one verse felt heavy, didn't it? Like, you're dull. In America, that's an insult, but really, I don't think it was an insult at all. I think it was just like, you've lost your edge, let's get it back. But I love this. I just love the follow-up. And here it comes. Dear friends, hey, like, I'm with you. Even though we're talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. Look at the grace and the mercy and just, this is God's heart. We are confident that you are meant for better things. Can I put it into my own words? For more. God wants more for you. Better things. Increase. Keep coming. Keep pursuing. Yeah, I know it's a sacrifice. Yeah, I know it's hard. Just come, come. Come to me. I have some things for you. It would amaze you. Better things. Things that come with salvation. Like, it, I love it. So I could start a brand new sermon. Like, this is part of the deal. So when you step into this relationship with Christ, better things. This is, maturity is the process. We're going to graduate from cereal to steak in time. Amen. Verse 10, and this, I love this verse so stinking much. We use it with our serve team. It's an anthem for me. For God is not unjust. He isn't unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him. And how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. It's a process of maturity. We're going on to wholehearted pursuits of Jesus. And we're just going to keep taking steps and keep moving forward. Have your cereal. But at a point, it's time for some steak. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around, please. This is the moment I think matters most. This is the moment of decision. And so in the presence of our amazing God, it's just you and him. The reason I ask you to close your eyes really is for you to just try to focus in. Just you and the Spirit of God right now. If you're online, I'd just love for you to just stay connected. You know, if you're driving, I'd recommend you keep your eyes very wide open. But if not, just be in this moment. I just want you to get in the presence of God. And I just want you to imagine it's you and it's him. And he's asking a question. What do you choose? And hopefully my five questions help you to kind of give a guide on where your next step is, what your choice is, what's going to start, what's going to stop, what's going to change. What's the Holy Spirit dealing with you about? What's your next step? What is it? But this moment of our service is specific. And it is very specific for those who have never made a decision to follow Jesus. And right now, I just want to unapologetically say, I'm trying to invite you into a wholehearted relationship with the Savior of the world, Jesus. And so if that's you, you know, today, that's the decision. That's the choice that I am called to make. And so what I want to do is I just want to guide you, like introduce you, if you will, to Jesus. And we do that through a simple prayer, and there's nothing special about this prayer, to be honest with you. It's just a prayer. But we do this prayer to follow biblical principles. And the Bible says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. And this prayer is an expression of your acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Lord. And so if you're here today, tuning in online, watching this 6 months from the date that it was produced, this might be the decision. Your choice is, I'm following Jesus. And so if that's you, I'm going to ask you to do something very simple. Just repeat this prayer after me. Church family, those in the building, you know how we do it. Ask everybody in the whole room to say it out loud. And the reason I do that is because there might be somebody in here, it might be two, five, that it's the first time they're saying this prayer. And we just want to encourage them. We want to help them in it. So here's our prayer. We say it like this. Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, let's give God some praise and congratulate those that made that decision.